I see that many of the staff didn't make it this morning. Now, I don't know about this holy hilarity business in the chapels after the service of Vespers. They get so worked up that they can't make it next day. Then it's not good. But I don't know how many of you saw the frolic that happened yesterday, but it was one of those spontaneous things which enabled people to feel that they were men and women in a very free and exciting and fresh and sacred way. And so I decided that for this morning's Bible study, I would like to link in with that just a little by turning to the Song of Solomon, and two, to point the direction, I hope, for the struggle, which will be one that we'll have next week, and to say, after I throw this at you, Dr. Rieke, you have to give your lecture on love next week, and I will just set a couple of themes about the struggle between love and sexuality before God. We've been talking about struggles this week, the struggle of Jacob and of Job and Hosea and of Solomon and of others, and now the struggle of the lover. The struggle of the lover. Let me just read one piece of Song of Solomon. Maybe you haven't read it for a long time. You don't hear many sermons on it, as a matter of fact. It's generally avoided. Let me just read one little piece, which is and Song of Solomon is a collection of love songs, a beautiful collection of love songs that is so exciting if you ever listen to them and don't try and make them something other than what they are. This is one that might be entitled Spring Fever. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is gone, the flowers are on the earth, the time of singing has come, the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. And you can go on, these just beautiful ones. And as you go through it, you can find in this book everything about love. That is, the love of man and woman. There is lovelessness, there is love sickness, there's the pledge. From the tingle of expectation to the thrill of consummation. From the girl who is so immature she has no breasts yet, to the flawless bride who is beautiful from head to toe. To the sorrow of rejected love, to the perfumes which stimulate love. From tears to tenderness, from sounds to touch, to the feel, sight, to the fragrance of love. Everything about that love between man and woman is put there, in all of its beauty. And it all grows out of a part of literature in the Old Testament which we call wisdom literature. That kind of literature which says that the experiences between man and man are good to talk about. That man is a good creature, a noble creature, as man and as woman, that he is beautiful, that God put him on the world to rule for God, that he was made in the image of God, and that he's got good things about him that should never be degraded, should never be treated as wrong or evil. And the goodness of man and of woman and of sex and of sexuality, of womanness and of love between man and woman, of the consciousness of the feeling that I'm a man and that you're a woman, that I'm a boy and you're a girl, all comes through in all of its beauty, in all of its loveliness, in this particular book. Now, sex, of course, is not the same as love. And sexuality is not the same as love. The fact that I feel like a man. And when we love, we don't become neutral, however. I am a man. When I begin to love, I am a man. I can't divorce myself from being a man, and neither can you change yourself from being a woman. And this is part of the difficulty, that we say, all right, love is not the same as sex or sexuality. And yet, when I love, I am a man. And I reach out, and I'm very conscious that I'm a man when I reach out to someone who is either a man or a woman. How can we live and love and yet preserve the goodness of the fact that we are men and women? And this has been one of the terrible things about Christianity, that sex somehow has been considered bad. Somehow it has been said you have to take it away when you come to love as a Christian, get rid of it. Or sexuality, get rid of it. The fact that I'm a man, I shouldn't be conscious of that when I'm loving, to love you as another person. But I can't change that fact that I am a man. I can't change the fact that when I look at you, I feel a certain way. And that it's very real. And there's one key prayer in this book which captures just that struggle. And it's this prayer in chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. One of the most famous and the greatest prayers in the whole book, and perhaps the Old Testament. It goes like this. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, and jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Jealousy flashes as flashes of fire, more vehement than flames, but many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly scorned. That fantastic struggle that happens in every one of us between love and selfishness, between love and jealousy. Well, to be very honest, it's exactly the thing that goes on in me all the time. The kind of thing that says, look, I want to love you. I'm going to reach out, I'm going to love you. Because I've had this urge from Christ. I've been forgiven. I want to reach out and I want to take off the masks. I want to love you. I want to reach you. And the moment that I take off the masks and I begin to get close to someone, or you begin to get close to me, then it's hard to live without suddenly starting to get possessive. And you will get possessive back and say, all right now, you've reached out to me, you belong to me, you're mine. You've reached out to me, I've felt your sexuality, your madness. I've reached out and you want to keep me. Or I want to keep you somehow. And the whole thing starts to get mixed up. And suddenly selfishness comes into the picture instead of love. And this is the struggle that keeps going on all the time. That I want to then not only love you, but manipulate you. And you in turn want to be able to control me. This is where the struggle is real, the struggle between love and jealousy, between love and selfishness, love and possessiveness. And we can't even divorce that to make it more complex from the fact that we are men and women in this. I'm a man,
when I reach out to love, and you're a woman, and you can't change that. And when we turn back to Christ, we say, yes, Jesus Christ, you have died for me, and that shows me what love is all about. That you have freed me, so there is neither bond nor free, neither man nor woman, neither barbarian nor Greek, that in Christ we are all one, and God has freed us all, he has brought us back to him, we are no longer strangers, we are one, there is love, that God loved us. And yet we have the same thing, that we are to be Christ to someone else. And just precisely then, when I say, all right, now I am neither bond nor free, man nor woman, I'm going to reach out as Christ to you, and suddenly you're a man. You're a woman. And I can't change that. And when I do reach out to you as a man or a woman, at that moment, I also have to remember that the Christ who came to love was also a human being. And that this is not eliminated. And that it's not wrong. But that we have to learn to live, that we need wise people who've learned to love and not be lost in it, not be destroyed in the closeness of two people being forgiven with their masks off. The closeness of learning to love. Now, there are many, many angles to this whole thing, and probably Dr. Rieke is saying, all right, you've confused three or four different things. He likes to keep them all nice and separate. But I will say right now that that's what happens when we are meeting and living life. These things do get confused. And what I want to say this morning is, let us help each other. And let us challenge those who have learned to love and not be destroyed in the closeness of love to help each other. And let that struggle happen so that we can say, set me a seal upon your heart. And we ask Christ, set me a seal upon your heart. For love, your love is as strong as death. And many waters cannot cleanse your love. That you will teach me how to love. I'd like to close with a prayer that was written. It says something of the same thing. Lately, my Lord, I've wondered what it would have been like to look you straight in the eye and to hear the sound of your voice. You must have disturbed many people and excited many women when you looked at them and spoke to them. There are some people whose eyes and voice and presence invade me like a beam. They can make me leap inside as though I were a ball bounding to the sky. And I want to leap through the ceiling to escape, but I can't get away. I can't go away with them, can I? When people touch my love nerves, I want them. I want them for myself. I guess I would have wanted you that way, Lord, if I had seen you face to face. Wanted you to myself. Is that the one danger of being Christ to others? How can I love without being selfish? How can I free others without leaving them torn by my blundering? How can I be loved without being possessed like a bird in someone's web? How can love be free? How can I be free to love those who you have given me to love? Love seems to have so many different angles and faces and edges. All I know, Lord, is that love hurts. And I hurt because I hurt others with my kind of love. Tomorrow I may meet someone else whose eyes can penetrate my soul and fling me hard against the ceiling until my bouncing soul dies slowly and weakly. Lord, teach me to fly, to come alive, to love again and bounce back for the sake of those I love. Lord, look me in the eye. And may Christ, who loved, teach us to love in the struggle that we have as human beings who must learn to love and be Christ to each other.